Hello, NBA fans. Welcome to the NBA Outlet, presented by OTGBasketball.com. Make sure to follow OTG on Twitter at OTGBasketball. Also, hit that subscribe button. I'm your host, Nick Fay. With me, as always, Corey Waldron. How you doing, Corey?
I'm doing pretty good, Nick, as we, you know, slowly move into midseason form on this podcast series.
Yeah, three games into the season. You know, a lot has happened, but at the same time, nothing has really happened. So this will be a little bit of a quicker episode, but let's start with talking about the beast himself. This is somebody who said that might be a dark horse MVP candidate going into the season, Giannis Antetokounmpo. He has been on a tear. He's averaging 38 a game, shooting over 67% from the field, 9 rebounds a game, 3 assists, only 3 turnovers a game, 2.7 steals, getting to the free throw line 10 times a game. Giannis has been a monster.
Yeah, making me look real good by saying he's a dark horse for MVP. But we mentioned this just now off podcast. I mean, he's doing this against Boston. He did it against LeBron James, dropping 34. And then last night against Portland, who has looked decent so far to start the year with two nice wins over the Pacers and the Suns. You know, he dropped 44 against them on 17 for 23 shooting from the field. He's just the ultimate mismatch. Because of his height, no one can really guard him. And when he's going to the basket, you know, getting him to the free throw line, it doesn't really help your cause because he's a very good free throw shooter. His assists are a little bit less than I thought they would be to start the year. He's not as much of a playmaker. I mean, the team necessarily around him hasn't been hitting their shots, but offensively and scoring-wise, I mean, yikes. He looks really good to start.
And the fact is, people sag off of him defensively, so he's doing this with people sagging off him, getting to the rim. Like you said, physically, he's a mismatch for almost everybody in the league. I was trying to think about it last night. Maybe Kevin Durant can match up with him. You know, other than that, nobody really has the length and the athleticism to really match what he does. Just those strides that he takes in the rim, you know, it's almost undefendable. And like you said, the assists are a little bit down, but I think, you know, as the season progresses, he's going to see double, triple teams. You need to prevent him from getting in the paint at any cost, because as soon as he's in the paint, it's almost a lock. He's got this little mid-range post shot now, you know, the touch around the rim. Also, offensive rebounding, it seems like he's tipping everything in. It's just Giannis is like somebody that needs attention every time on the court.
And defensively, too, I mean, he's using that long reach of his almost every night.
Game-winning block last night.
Yeah, he had a couple of chase-down blocks already early in the year. And, you know, if anyone's going to take the crown from LeBron James, Antetokounmpo looks like he's right there to take it.
For sure. I mean, it's just – it's. I think the one thing that's remarkable about him and the reason that you could see the hype about him becoming one of the best players in NBA history is the rate that he's been able to add skill and, you know, experience and feel for the game. Like, his basketball IQ and his skill level has increased so much from his rookie season to where he was at. And he's done it in such a fast time. So I think, you know, by the time this kid is like 26 years old, I don't even know what we can really expect.
We can expect a Greek god, right? I guess at that point of his career, he'll have a statue over in Greece and he'll be a god.
Yeah, like really, like last night was a perfect example, like you said. He killed the Trailblazers, 44 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists. You know, he had the go-ahead steal and layup, actually dunk, and then he had the game-winning block on Joseph Nurkic at the rim. So it's just like he's everywhere on the court and he has to be accounted for at all times.
Yeah, I mean, you just – and especially like just thinking about this Bucks team in general, I think we should at least touch base. Because of Boston going down the Hayward injury – you know, once they get Jabari Parker back in, you know, February or whatever, I mean, I have really high hopes for the Bucks in general. You know, they could also arguably be a 3-seed with how this Eastern Conference looks.
Yeah, I mean, we were really high on them on the Bucks preview pod. There's just a lot of things to like, a lot of young guys that are going to get better. And we like Jason Kidd with what he can do with young players. And, you know, they're going to get out and run. And having a player like Giannis is just mismatch all over the place. I think it's a real possibility. If I asked you now, what are the chances that Giannis wins MVP? Obviously, this is only three games into the season, but has your opinion changed on his chances of winning?
No, I still think LeBron's a front runner because LeBron has, for the most part, looked very good, even though we'll talk about what happened last night. I think right now I'd give him probably 20-25%. I'll say he's got at least a quarter of the way a chance at this point in time.
I think what you said before about the Bucks possibly getting a 3-seed, I think if they were able to land a top seed in the East, and you know, winning does matter for the MVP. Obviously, Westbrook won last year, but that was kind of like a, you know, outlier. Averaging a triple-double doesn't really happen.
Yeah,
but I
records.
Think, you know, so I think if the Bucks are able to get a good record in the East, you know, home court advantage, top 3-seed, it's a little bit more likely than I originally anticipated going to the season. I didn't think Giannis would be scoring at the rate that he is, but he's just understood so much better about his athleticism and his strides. I think his strides are what make him ridiculous. Fast break, you know, he takes off from the free throw line. And then when he's driving to the rim, you know, you're defending him and he can either go either way. And one stride of his is like three steps for a regular player.
You mentioned his stride. I was watching him chase down block. I want to say it was Jason Tatum. And I watched him take off full speed. And then right before he hit like the 3-point line, he just took three ginormous steps and then blocked Tatum at the rim. And I was like, wow, like the willpower to slow down from running fast speed and then just take those huge stretches. It was wild.
Yeah, it's literally like amazing to watch. He's must watch TV at this point. But you mentioned LeBron and the Cavs, and they had a disappointing loss last night, 114-93 to Orlando. Orlando was up by as much as 37 in this game. From the get-go, the Magic were on top. I mean, obviously it's an early season loss, but is there some concern for the Cavs losing to a team like Orlando early in the season like this?
I think the only thing you can really say is Dwayne Wade's got to come off the bench, right? I mean, that to me is the only thing that really sticks out. It's not even the fact that I'm worried about the Cavs per se. It's just that I need difference. I need to see more 3-point shooters to better be alongside LeBron James in that starting lineup. They're 2-1, yeah, I mean, so I'm not really worried. But you retweeted it. You retweeted a plus minus of starting lineups, and the Cavaliers.
Oh yes, and the Cavs are on this.
Right, and that's bad. That ain't good. And I know it's three games in, but yeah, you don't want to see starting lineups for championship contending teams, I don't know, on a plus minus roster. And they were like, what, minus 25?
Yeah, it was not pretty. And you mentioned Dwayne Wade. LeBron even said this. We need to get Wade going. Wade right now is averaging 6 points a game on 29% shooting from the field and 3.5 turnovers. He is averaging 3 assists and 2 rebounds. But, you know, Wade, I think, is playing probably over 25 minutes, close to 30 minutes a game, and he's just putting up 6 a game, and that's not what you want to see from a player like Dwayne Wade, especially early in the season. You want to see him find his rhythm and kind of get in that groove. I think moving him to the bench would make the most sense, but I don't know if it's going to happen.
You know, another thing, I don't like starting Kevin Love at center. I don't like it. Last night, Vucevic, is that right? How you say it? Vucevic?
Nikola Vucevic. He's got a tough one.
Yeah. But he manhandled them, though. And, you know, he's not a bad player. He's actually had a really good start to the year. I think he had 41 points against the Nets.
41 on the Nets.
Right.
The NBA player, exactly. So.
Shots fired, the $64 million man. I worry. I think Tristan should be getting a little bit more minutes. I don't necessarily like playing Kevin Love all the time at center. He just, I don't know. He doesn't play enough defense for me. And you see guys like that. You know, he really bullied them down low. Because Orlando's not this good of an offensive team. So far they look it, but it's worrisome. The Cavs defense definitely hasn't gotten any better from last year. They're pretty much picking up wherever they left off.
Yeah, I think if you're going to play somebody like a Kevin Love at center, you need to play an amazing team defense, and everybody needs to work, and I don't think that's what happens in Cleveland. And like you said, Orlando is really interesting. Aaron Gordon and Elfrid Payton were both out last night, and they're able to, you know, put up 114 the night before they put up 121. You know, they got guys like Vucevic and Evan Fournier just lighting up. Some of it, I think, is early season stuff, but I think Orlando could be a little bit more surprising than anticipated.
Shout out to my man Frank Vogel. He's finally getting some pieces in there that he really likes defensively. You know, they had Jonathan Simmons, who's had a nice couple, you know, start to his Orlando tenure. DJ Augustine
hit a couple threes.
Good for him. DJ Augustine had a double-double last night. I can't remember last time he had a double-double. You know, that's a big time if when Peyton's not playing. I really like the minor adjustments they brought in, like adding in Mo Spietz. You know, Mo Buckets adds 10 points off the bench last night. I like what Frank Vogel is starting to mold this Orlando Magic team into.
Could you think, you know, I mentioned Peyton and Gordon being out. Do you think the fact not having both of them on the floor at the same time allows them to be a lot better offensively because they both lack that jump shot?
Yeah. I mean, I'm really not high on Aaron Gordon at all, so I'll say yes to him. I think he's very – oh, no, he sucks. I don't see the player everyone else sees. I see a guy who's, you know, a high high athletic dunker who can rebound, but I don't see anything abnormally special. And Elfrid Payton, I actually really like him. He's a very good playmaker. He plays defense. Yes, the jump shot is very suspect, but to a degree, I like what he brings to his team. Augustine, obviously, I think he's a better backup point guard. I think Payton long-term will be fine for them. Gordon, for me, is somebody that
It's a big year for Gordon, too. I think he's a restricted free agent at the end of the season. And I think that having both of them on the floor at the same time hurts. You know, if you're only playing one of them and you only have one on the floor can't shoot, I think it works out a lot better. Have, you know, two guys you can sag off. It makes it tough for the rest of the team. Playing guys like Bismack Biyombo, innocent shooter yet. And it just, you know, impacts spacing and, you know, how I feel about that. But another big-time team lost last night, and that was Golden State. And they lost to the Grizzlies. You know, our guy Muhammad's really happy about this. 111-101, Grizzlies pick up the W. Not really that crazy of a game. But Steph Curry and Kevin Durant were ejected at the end of the game, and Steph tossed his mouth guard in the direction of the ref. What are your thoughts on this?
My thoughts on this is, Curry, you had 37 points, 6 rebounds, and 3 assists. Durant, you had 29 points, 13 rebounds, and 3 assists with, you know, 3 blocks and a steal. Why are you both complaining? Why are you, Curry, why are you reacting in such a way that you want a foul called? You know, it, like, it's, you are, I don't know, I don't like it. Curry had already shot in 13 free throw attempts. Like, what are you complaining about? Because you didn't get one call you think you should have got. You got plenty of other calls. I don't like it. It bothers me. I don't like disrespect towards referees ever. Umpires in any sport, treat the referees with respect. You know, their job is hard. I know you've reffed before. It's not easy trying to get everything right.
It's stressful. Miss
some plays. Exactly. I don't like that. And throwing a mouthpiece, that's disgusting. It really bothered me, actually. And then Kevin Durant throwing the middle finger up when he was walking off the court.
Pointer finger.
Oh, was it a pointer finger?
Okay. He was trying to make the gesture to his finger like ring.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, obviously it looks like a middle finger and people are like, it doesn't matter, Kevin Durant. But, I mean, I understand. I think Curry kind of overreacted. I can see why he wanted that foul call because obviously Mike Conley slapped the shit out of his wrist. But, you know, you don't need to flip out and throw your mouth guard. It's not the finals. Like, you know, if something big happened in the playoffs and it really mattered, I understand frustration, but I think they were just kind of pissed they lost 2 games already. You know, I didn't anticipate them losing 2 games this early in the season.
And if Curry wants to be mad at anyone, be mad at Kerr. You only played 30 minutes last night. Why weren't you on the floor more if you were being so effective? You know, that's just another way I look at it. If, you know, if Kerr plays him, you know, 5 more minutes, maybe he has 45. They're not in this predicament.
The Warriors just were kind of out of their flow. 17 turnovers, not a great shooting night. It just seems like Memphis does a good job of getting them out of their game. And I think that's probably another reason why I was mad, because they usually play Steph real physical. Even though he did have a good game, I'm sure he was probably getting a little bit frustrated with their physical play.
Yeah.
Got to give the Grizz a lot of credit, though.
And not to mention, Clay and Draymond had offensively big off nights. So it was a lot of Curry and Durant driven.
So I think the Warriors obviously will be fine, but it's always something to keep an eye on when something happens like that. Do you think there's a chance Curry gets suspended?
If the mouthpiece hit the umpire, hit the ref, then yes, he should be suspended. If it missed, I don't know if he'll actually get suspended. I wouldn't. It depends on how the leagues he did. If the league is as outraged as I feel for that kind of disrespect, especially like 3 games into the season after just winning a ring, like. I guess the timing to me is what really bothers me. Like, the season just started. Like, why are you already acting like a baby?
Yeah, I think a 1-game suspension is a real possibility.
Yeah, I'd probably give him a game, especially Curry. Maybe not Durant, but Curry for sure should get at least a game.
Some people were saying, oh, Curry should get suspended 5 games and get, like, $50K.
No,
I was like,
wild.
Bro, you need to calm down. Like, I obviously understand the Warriors' hate is a little bit high right now. But it's not like he, like, punched the ref in the face. I think Rondo once, like, pushed the ref, and he only got suspended 2 games.
Yeah.
So calm down with all that nonsense. But obviously
they'll be fine, though.
Yeah, they'll be fine. We know the Warriors.
We saw them struggle start off last season, and look what happened. You know, they just got to get, you know, they got to work out a little some kinks. You know, they were all summer partying. Just got to work
China
out.
Clay. But another team that is really struggling, and this is – I might be the worst team in the league, and that's the Phoenix Suns. They've gotten destroyed 2 out of 3 games. The other game they lost to was the Lakers, but they had 2 losses by, I think, over 40 points. No defense whatsoever. I think bottom of the league in not only points per game, but also field goal percentage for your opponent. Are the Phoenix Suns the worst team in the NBA?
They gave 124 points to the Trailblazers. They gave up,
132 to the Lakers.
132 to the Lakers. And then last night they gave up 130 to the Clippers. Yes, this team so far is a team that's allergic to defense. They don't I haven't seen a collective unit try to play so bad on defense as the Phoenix Suns. It's almost like they're making it a point that we're not going to guard anything and we want to get steamrolled. Right now they look, as like you said, this is the worst team so far on paper, I think.
Yeah, I think it's been pretty bad. It's just the defense, they don't really have a reason to win, and I think they're just playing a lot of young guys that are just throwing them out into the fire and letting them develop. And it's not necessarily a bad thing because we know Phoenix is not anywhere close to contending, but you still want to see a little bit, and you definitely want to see an improved defensive effort. You know, you don't have to be great defenders, but you need to put the energy in, especially for a young team coaching-wise. You know, you need to really make sure that your team goes out and balls. Like, they can lose and not have the talent to win, but you actually have to put the hustle in. That's why I never got mad about, like, the Nets over the last, you know, over the last season. They weren't a good team, but at least they played hard every night.
Yeah, I mean, something that stands out to me against, especially last night against the Clippers, is, you know, Blake Griffin has 29, and, you know, we've seen him bully up against bad teams. Like, he bullied up against the Lakers on opening night. But, you know, the bench unit is what really tore apart the Suns. I mean, Sam Dekker had 7, Willie Reed had 12, Lou Will had 18. Thornwell had 8. Bryce Johnson had 6. I mean, everyone is scoring on the Suns. It's not even like a starting unit is just obliterating them. It's just the fact that anyone who wants to score can score on them. And I don't know how you fix that. You know, I don't know what Phoenix has to do. I don't so far like this. I don't know why Marquese Chriss is coming off the bench. I don't really like Josh Jackson at the 4. I get you want to play the, what was it, the 3rd overall pick or the 4th overall pick. Figure out something. I think Earl Watson's got to be on the hot seat already, too.
Yeah, I mean, I think they need to improve the defensive effort. Losing by 40 is terrible. Like, even the, you know, Sixers winning under 20 games weren't losing games like that. So I think you need to see some adjustment from that set. Or like you said, it could be a coaching hot seat. Obviously, it's a young team, but like we said, you want to see the effort. I know you probably have some thoughts on this. Lonzo Ball against the Suns dropped 29, I think 11 assists after having a terrible game against Pat Bev. What are your thoughts on Lonzo so far? I know this is somebody you're not very high on. I'm looking for maybe a hot take right now.
It was the Suns. That's all I got to say. Like, it was like, yes, like it was a very good bounce back performance after getting your face rubbed in the dirt by Patrick Beverley on opening night. Like he had to face a class A defender, top 5 perimeter guard in the league, and then you got to play against the, as you would, like one of your gifs you sent in one of our group chats, a fire dumpster in the Phoenix Suns. He looked good against the Phoenix Suns, but against a team that doesn't defend the pick and roll well and doesn't do a lot of, he hit a couple wide open threes because guys were going underneath the screen instead of fighting over top the screen. And when you're getting looks like that, if you just got to hit them. And he was hitting the shots, you know. He almost had a triple-double. If he gets to play against the Suns and, you know, the Hawks and the Bulls, 82 games, he'll average a triple-double probably, but that's not the case. You know, I think it was a nice little stretch. I still think he's a tad bit overrated offensively. He's still got a long way to go. Luke Walton said after game 1 that he's got a long way to go.
Yeah, I think he definitely does. And like you said, you got to take it with a grain of salt being against Phoenix. One thing I'll say, though, you do like is the fact he was hitting jumpers. I think if he hits jumpers, he's going to be a lot better this season. If he's not hitting jumpers, the pick and roll is going to be almost worthless to him because they're just going to go under every time and not have to worry about his jump shot. But if he's hitting open threes, he's hitting jump shots, he's going to be a lot better. It's going to help the Lakers. And I think one reason he probably is going to struggle a little bit more than people thought is I think the Lakers are worse than people thought. I think going to the season, there was a lot more hype around the Lakers team in general, not just Lonzo. And people are starting to kind of die down on that and like, that good. We can't play any defense.
Wait, Nick, you mean they're not going to be a playoff team?
No, Corey, I'm sorry. I'm sorry to break all those hearts out there, but the Lakers are not going to play a playoff team.
Damn, devastating. They do play the Pelicans tonight, though. I'm interested to see how Lonzo looks against Jrue Holiday and having to try and drive when he's got DeMarcus Cousins, Anthony Davis lurking in the paint.
Early prediction right here. AD drops 40, 15 rebounds, and like five blocks. And he doesn't play the full fourth quarter.
Yeah, and I'll say DeMarcus Cousins drops 27, 12, and 3.
Yeah, I think that is just a terrible matchup for the Lakers. Like, Brooke, I love you, but you're not going to be able to defend AD or Cousins. Julius Randle, you know, you'll maybe have a chance, but most nights against power forwards, but tonight you're facing the best big man combo in the league.
It's a shame they don't have any perimeter scorers, because that game against the Warriors, you know, the entire game, I don't know how much you watched of it, but you could just see the desperate need for three-point shooters, especially late, because you can't just keep driving when you're down by 7 with like 2 minutes to go. It doesn't really work out.
Ironically enough, I was watching the Warriors and Pelicans on the way home from the Nets home opener, and I think last year I was doing the same thing because I feel like they played early in the season last year. They obviously didn't have Cousins, but the Warriors and Pelicans always seem like they got that first week matchup. But moving on from the Suns, we got a quick little guessing game for you, Corey. You know, just to kind of keep every up to date on what's going on the season, I'm going to ask you who had the most assists in a game this season, and you just tell me your guess, and then I have the real answer. So most assists in a game this season.
Russell Westbrook was 16.
Correct. All right, Ooh. Corey, you're starting off hot. Most steals in a game this season. Give me two. There's three guys tied at the top. You can give me two out of the three.
Do I have to say how many steals they had or just say the player?
No. Oh, no. They all have the same amount. They all have the same amount. They're tied for the most.
Okay. John Wall, Antetokounmpo, and who else could have four steals or more?
We mentioned him on this pod already. Quick mention of him.
Lonzo.
Nope, close. It's the guy that was guarding Lonzo on opening night. Patrick
Beverly. Come on. I knew that.
Jimmy Butler also. And then, surprisingly, Steven Adams, 5. I think Adams had 5 against the Knicks on Thursday night.
Oh, those are the three players? Damn, the Adams. Yep. That was tough.
Most blocks in a game this season. Two guys have this.
DeMarcus Cousins.
Yep.
And Whiteside?
Nope, Durantula.
Duh, Durant, damn.
Most points in a game this season. This one's pretty easy.
Antetokounmpo.
Yes, 44. Most threes in a game this season.
Ooh.
This one's a little surprising. There's two. One's surprising, and the other one's just what you would expect.
No, it can't be Carmelo. I'm going to say Melo anyways because this is a tough one.
The other guy is someone that's always in this category.
Oh, Curry?
Clay.
Clay, damn. It had to be a Warrior. The minute you said Clay, that, I knew it was a Warrior.
Yeah, Clay and Robert Covington.
But that wraps it up for today. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Corey, thank you for hopping on. And as always, you can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, YouTube, and OTGBasketball.com. Enjoy your week.